Hello, my friends. I'm glad to be with you this morning, and I wish you a happy new year. We're off to a new start, and hopefully a much better year in 2021 than we had in 2020. We have every reason to have hope, and hope is a powerful thing to carry with us, to carry it close in our hearts as we move into this new year. Before I begin our lesson for today, I must share with you, if you have not heard it already, that our beloved friend Jim Bishop passed away on the morning of January the 1st, which seems beautiful to me. Jim was a valuable part of our community. He was a fixture here. He joined in 2014, and he put so much into the years that he was with us as a member of this community. He was the potluck team captain forever, and if you came to church any time at all when potluck was being announced, you could always hear Jim say, "I've got a theme." And when he did that, we knew what was coming up for potluck. He helped in the Serenity Garden. He helped with trail management. He helped with Adopt a Highway. He was on the Trail of Lights building and installation team every Christmas season. And he did grounds management as well. He participated in the men's group and in the Wednesday night classes. His very favorite things were his love of Jesus and giving love to other people. He was one of the most loving people you would know, and he loved to feed people. And I would say if he did nothing else in his life but love and feed people, that's a full life. And so we know that Jim had had health problems for a while. His last struggle was with ALS, and if you know that disease at all, it's a good thing that Jim didn't linger here long to battle with it. And so we may have something in the future for Jim for a service. The family is still working out their immediate needs, and we will let you know as soon as we know something. But we bless our brother Jim on his way, and we know that one of the greatest things for him would be to see the face of Jesus, and we know that that's what he's doing right now. So Jim, we love you and bless you and appreciate you. We will miss you. Amen. One of the things that's been so difficult about this year is that we've lost people that have been part of our community. Jim Beal earlier this year. Now we've lost Jim Bishop. And those two men had a presence in this community that was larger than most. We also lost the beloved husband of Elizabeth Heyman, Ricky Heyman. And we miss him. He was a tender, kind person. And that's one of the things that we have to deal with in this year is that the fabric of our lives has changed. And when we come back together, whenever that is, we will be different because our community will have changed not only in its numbers and because we've lost people that were close to us, but also because we will have changed indelibly. Throughout this last year, this year has been, in some ways, remarkable in that it has taught us more about ourselves than we maybe even wanted to learn, and it's done it under circumstances that we would rather not have had. But I read an interesting article the other day about the roads we didn't take and how we approach those. Beloved, every decision you've made, every path you've chosen, every action, word, thought, has brought you to this day today. To dwell on what might have been is a useless exercise. And while I don't believe that that the Almighty has a finger on our heads guiding us through life, saying, choose this, choose that, the Almighty, the Divine Spirit, has given us the ability to do that. And so last week when we were together, we had the burning bowl ceremony so that we could let go of all the things we're ready to let go of for the last year. And today, later in the service, we'll be doing our white stone ceremony, in which you will begin this new year with a new name, as it were. And I would like to give you a little bit of background on why we do this. This month, I'll be teaching practical metaphysics on Wednesday nights. And so we'll be going through the basics of unity yet again. And before you say, well, I don't have to do that when I already know all those basics, I can tell you you don't. Because the way we use the principles that we teach here at Unity and the principles of new thought are ones that are continuously being renewed in us. And while Unity is called non-denominational, we really are a denomination in that we identify ourselves as part of the new thought movement that began over 125 years ago. But we also have a theology. We also have a doctrine, if you will. And don't go running away frightened because of that. It's important for us to know where we stand and what we stand for. So I would just like to share with you that when I came to Unity for the very first time in 1987, June of 1987 to be precise, in Arlington, Texas, I started hearing things that I didn't know I knew. I started hearing things that resonated with me that I didn't remember hearing out loud somewhere else, but my soul knew it. And being kind of a hummingbird in my life and going from interest to interest, I was a Southern Baptist girl, and then in college, at Baptist College, I decided to become an Episcopalian, and I did that for a few years, and then I did nothing for a while, and then I found Unity. And that I've been in Unity since 1987 says a lot about Unity, because these principles that we teach are eternal. They touch upon all the other major world religions in their truths. And they work. And why wouldn't we keep on doing that which works for us? So this month, I'll be going through those basic principles, but listen to them with the ears that you have now. Because I know that as many times as I teach the basic principles of unity, it becomes something new for me every time I do it. And I've been doing it for a lot of years. So I'll tell you more about the class later, but today I want to tell you about the two truths, the two principles, the two tenets for living that started changing my life back in 1987, because I had never heard anyone say what I truly believed. There's only one presence and one power in the universe, and in my life, God the good, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, all places. And you see, that begins right there to break down some barriers for us, because if we know that there's only one presence and one power, then we don't have to worry about Satan. Yay! So if you're still hanging on to Satan, today's the day to let it go. Today's the day to let go of Satan. To let go of something battling for your soul that you have to be on the lookout for all the time, like goblins under the bed. The evil that we see in the world is the evil that humans do. It's because humans often have a distorted sense of the truth. They've not yet heard a truth that they can absorb deeply with their soul yet. And so we don't need some kind of otherworldly supernatural power out there to make us do things that we shouldn't do. We can do that all by ourselves. And so it was a relief to me to know that all things are God. All things. The way we begin to look at the world is then shaped by that. It's a little easier for us to be able to see the divinity in other human beings no matter what they're demonstrating. It allows us to have a greater level of compassion and understanding. It allows us to let them be where they are until it's time for the truth to smack them the way it smacked us. So there's that. One presence and one power. And so if you're interested in, well, if there's one presence and one power, then why does this happen and why does this exist and what does this mean and what? How do you explain? Then come to the Wednesday night class. We'll talk about it. Come to it on Zoom. The other principle that I learned right away is that the same thing that made Jesus holy makes us holy. And that's the Christ Spirit. And the Christ is the anointed one, the one true Spirit that was part of us, in us, as us, before we even took on a body in this world. It's as eternal as all time, all space, all directions, infinite and unimaginable. That same Christ Spirit lives in each one of us. So, just as the antithesis to God might be Satan, the antithesis to the Christ Spirit would be sinner. So, if you think that something is going to punish you for your sins, it's not. We punish ourselves, don't we? Don't we do that to ourselves way more often than we ought to? But it's not because we're inherently bad. When I christen babies, I don't christen them so that they are cleansed of the sin that they arrived in. Oh my gosh, how can we do that? How can we look at a baby and think that this child is not clean yet and we need to make sure we put some water on it? Say some prayers over it so that it won't be tainted by sin for the rest of its life. Oh my gosh. And you know, when you get that message when you're little, going to Sunday school or whatever you went to or didn't go to, that message has to be undone. We have to kind of swerve our thinking toward, I kind of like that, swerve your thinking. That's not like a hard 90 degree. It is a 180, but we can do it nice and slowly. You see what I mean? Take that truth on as you can, as you will. Remember that there is nothing that can separate you from God, ever, ever, ever. You are God's very own divine creation. And it's the reason we have different faces and different bodies and different interests and different contributions to the world is because we are all unique, every single human being who has ever been on this planet. Holy. We don't get to judge that. We don't get to judge other people and say, well, this group of people over here, look at them, they're holy. This group of people over here, unholy. We no longer have that luxury of black and white. I wore pink on purpose today because this, for me, is a color of love. And so this is about how we expand our capacity to love, which was given to us, built into our DNA, our capacity to love, because of that Christ spirit, because of that spark of divinity in us. So I know that many of you already know these two truths, but they always bear repeating. And I can tell in myself when I'm speaking this morning that there's a passion that I have about that, that I hope you have about that too. I hope it's reassuring to you. I hope it gives you hope. I hope that it allows you to shift your life toward being not so harsh on yourself, but rather to know that we are constantly on a self-correcting course toward our full divinity. Is that okay with you? Because the more we practice and learn and listen and absorb these truths, the easier it is for us to notice it when we've stepped outside of it. It's like going outside in a blizzard without a coat. When we were young and foolish, we might have done that. And then we, you know, had to suffer for it. Now we know, oh yeah, I put my coat on because it's cold out there. I put on my truth because that's who I really am. Oh yeah, I forgot for a second. What am I feeling? Oh yeah, I'm feeling less than a divine being, having a human experience. That's the feeling I'm having. That's what's uncomfortable. Now, beloved, I want to tell you that that doesn't mean that everything is going to be light and happy all the time. It'll be light and happy more of the time, but it also allows us to experience the whole range of human emotions, the whole range of human experiences. We have to notice the things that we get angry about, and what shall we do with that? What shall we do with our grief? What shall we do with our disappointment? What shall we do with our plans that get wrecked? What shall we do with the relationships that don't work out? What should we do when our kids don't behave? We have this truth that lives in us all the time. What's lovely about this, and I pointed this out, one of my sons and I are re-watching the entire Lord of the Rings movies again. You know, you have to do that every few years. Well, there are people here in our crew in the sanctuary going, yeah, you do, yeah, you do. And some of you may be going, no, I've never felt the need to do that, but that's okay too. But the director, Peter Jackson, really took epic storytelling that has a lot of archetypal meaning in it and brought epic storytelling to the screen, kind of like Star Wars was. And so if we look in movies that bring those universal principles and archetypes right here in front of us, then we can see and feel a link to the entire lineage of our spirituality. And one of the things that is common to every practice of spirituality, no matter what you call it in the world, involves having physical rituals that ground our spiritual truths in the here and now. It's a very important thing for us to have those rituals. So I will, if you'll just indulge me for a moment, I made David stop the movie the other night because if you don't know the story, just kind of hang with me for a second. Frodo has the ring that has to be returned to the fire from whence it was forged in order to take away the power of evil in Middle Earth. And that may have just sounded like I gave you something in another language, but just stick with me here. and all of the beings that live in Middle Earth, the elves, the dwarves, the wizards, the hobbits, the humans, they all gather together and agree that it's all right for this little hobbit to go do what he's charged to do. And as he gets ready to go on his quest with the fellowship of companions from all those different parts of life, those companions, the fellowship, are going with him. Gandalf the Grey, the great wizard, gives them a blessing and a ceremony before they pass through the gate to walk on their quest. And I made David stop the movie and I said, see, right there. That's why we have ritual. That's why we mark beginnings and endings, because they're important. Because we need those markers in our lives that say, yes, this was where this transition began. And every time we do communion here, we talk about the elements of communion in the language of universal truths, not just Christianity, even though that was the origin for communion or breaking bread and having wine with each other. But it's an ancient ritual to break bread with your companions. So it's important for us to have the ritual of writing down that which we're ready to let go of and then burning it. That makes it more concrete. It makes it, gives it a shape, rather than just saying in your head, yeah, okay, I'm ready to let go of this. Yeah, don't want to do that anymore. You write it down and you burn it, you've taken another step. So today, as we do our white stone ritual, I want you to know that this is rooted in the scripture. This is the ritual that we do to begin to signify the person that we are becoming, that we have become and will continue to unfold as. So I know that many of you came up to the church during this week to get your white stone. We have them in a basket outside the kitchen door. If you haven't gotten your white stone, you can come get your white stone anytime. We will have them available. But if you picked one up, please have it available to you right now. And if you don't have a white stone, then feel free to write it down on a piece of paper or on a note card or on something that you're going to keep so that you can look at it. Because it's a very important ceremony. Let me just read to you. And this is these words are from the JerusalemStone.com website. My understanding is that these stones themselves come from Hebron, which is in Palestine. It's an ancient ritual back in the time when Jesus was teaching and someone served time in prison or in bondage of any kind, they were given a white stone when they were released. Each of us comes from bondage today, and you're being given, or you have in with you, a white stone to signify your freedom. All of your past nonsense was a prison to you, but now you are free to go and be anything you wish. This ceremony comes from Revelations 2:17. In Revelations, John talks about the people being given a new name. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We're talking about the inner ear, the still small voice. And I'll just give you an example of a couple of times in the scripture where people have changed their name because they've had a spiritual experience that has transformed them forever. So Abram, when he got the message that he would be the father of all these tribes, and you know there are three major faiths that trace their lineage to Abraham, the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims, all go back to Abraham. So when Abram was given the promise to be the father of many, and to have lands in which to bring forth. He was given the name Abraham instead of Abram. When his wife Sarai discovered that she was going to have a child at a very late age, and she laughed. And I love this story because she laughed, and God said, "Who laughed?" And Sarah said, "It was my maid." And God said, "No, it might have been you." And I'm paraphrasing. And Sarai said, "Yes, that was me." And she said, "No, this," he said, "No, this is," he, God said, "this is true. You and Abraham are the parents of nations." And so from being Sarai, she became Sarah. So notice that the ha, Abraham, Sarah, that exhalation is the breath of God. That's why those name changes are so significant, and they're symbolic for us of what we're doing. So in our white stone service, the first part of the verse tells us to listen and to develop the ear of the soul. We use denials and affirmations. We sit in the silence and we listen to spirit. That's what we're called to do. And we'll be going through a meditation in just a moment to do that. The second part of the promise is, "And I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." This is a time when it was believed that the people had overcome and had made their connection with the divine, then got a new name. That name was written on a white stone. The name was given to them directly from God. No one else intervened. No one else was aware of the new name. It was a new nature, the freedom from bondage. When people had overcome, when they were set free from their bondage, they got that stone. They got that new name. So the white stone represents for us metaphysically joy and victory and purification. So I just want to ask you, are you ready to go into this new year with joy and with victory over your past and with a moment of purification so that you might be new and clean and whole going into this year? Are you willing to do that? Because that's what today is about, and that's what we get to do with each other, even though we're apart. So right here, I have my stone and my Sharpie, and so I'm going to be keeping those handy right here. I have to tell you, my friends, you don't get to question. You don't get to censor. You don't get to go, "Nah, it's not that one. I want one that's nicer." "Dad doesn't feel quite holy enough. Let's go for something really holy." If you're doing that, then we need to get you back to your inner voice. I have to tell you, my friends, last year I did my white stone ceremony. I had been out of town. I did the white stone ceremony on my own. And the word that I wrote down was just like, "I don't even know what this means. I can't even imagine how this word is going to be meaningful this year." But I have to tell you, on December 31st, I looked back at the year. And that which I had written on my stone had come to pass in ways that I could not have imagined a year ago. And that is the honest truth right there. So do you see what we're doing is receiving a message? We're receiving a path. We're receiving a name. And it may come to you that you have a new holy name. And that will unfold for you for what that name means. It may be a word. It may be a concept. It may be, don't make it very long because your stone is only this big. It's about the size of a domino. So there's no need to get out your fine tip marker to write as many words as you can on here. The fewer words, the more profound it is. The fewer, like one word, leaves a place of possibility that is endless. So you don't need to write like in a circle around here, oh, it's this, and this is how it's going to happen, and this is what I'm going to do. Nope, not the point today. So, without any more ado, let's begin our meditation. While you have your white stone, and you can just warm that baby up in your hand if you want to. So I invite you to consciously invite the activity of God, of the Holy Spirit, into your heart and mind for the next few minutes. Perhaps there's a new career, a new title, or a new quality that Spirit is pressing out through you. Love that phrase. Spirit is pressing it out through you. I invite you to give your ego a few minutes off and let your divine holy self, your Christ Spirit, come through. Give yourself permission to know that you have a new quality, a new name. I've seen people who, when they write the word peace, love, or presence, or freedom, or compassion, they take on a new essence of who they are. And I've experienced myself how that works. Later, you're going to be invited to write the name on your stone. Don't do it yet. And to carry it with you and to carry that name in your heart. Whenever we ask, there's an answer. So if you will, just close your eyes and then open them whenever it's comfortable for you. Just become still for a moment and allow God to express through you and as you. Take the white stone in your hand and see it as a symbol of a new life. See it as a symbol of who you have become or who you are becoming, or of who you would like to become. Feel the presence of God and know your oneness with God. Just breathe it in right now. Know that your I am, two of the most powerful syllables that we can enunciate, I am-ness. Know that I am-ness with God. Feel that loving presence of God as it surrounds and supports you wherever you are. Know right now that you're safe and secure. You are loved and supported by the presence of God. God loves you, beloved. Know that you are encouraged by your fellow travelers wherever they are. Know that you are loved and appreciated by this spiritual community. And so this white stone is the promise of a new life. It's the symbol of a clean slate, as was the custom in the times when the Bible was written. Your slate is clean, and you're free. Whatever has gone on in the past that you have not yet let go of, let it go now. This is a sign of our ability in this moment to live in this new beginning. This is the moment to know that we are free. Free from all that has bound us, free from the prison that we have put ourselves in. Today we'll meditate on our new name, for each of us here has overcome adversity, has overcome the prison of our own ego. We've lived and freed ourselves to live more fully, conscious of the activity of the whole Spirit of God in every aspect of our lives. In recognition of this, we free ourselves to live more fully, releasing ourselves from bondage, releasing ourselves from the prison of limiting thoughts about ourselves, about each other, about our world. Anytime you look at your white stone, realize that you have the gift of choice, the gift to live differently, to live a more fulfilling life, to begin again, to connect with God and to co-create with God. John wrote in the book of Revelations that the white stone carries a new name, the spiritual identity, and a deeper awareness of what God has planned for you. No one in the entire universe except you and God knows what this new name or this new word is. But it has come to you to be lived out, to be expressed, to be embodied as you. It is what God is calling you to be or to do. It is a whisper from your soul that you are so much more than you have ever let come into expression. Oh, isn't that powerful? And so begin to reflect on a new name. Let it come to you easily without trying to make it happen. Let a name come to you that marks your new beginning. Feel the stone in your hand. Hear it beckon to you. And so as you are guided by Spirit, and it may feel to you like you're making it up because it may seem so wonderful or so much of what you have yearned for, but still, I invite you to trust in this now moment. Spirit gives to you in this sacred place, in this moment of truth, an insight into your divine purpose, an insight into your holy essence. And so in that secret place of the Most High, I invite you to allow yourself to hear the new name God has for you. And so as that name becomes clear, just allow yourself to write it without second guessing, without judging. Maybe a title. It may be something like clean and sober. It may be yourself as an author. It may be grateful or angel. Or white buffalo woman, or shaman. It may be a quality like freedom, wisdom. So let's take a few moments to do this in the silence, to let yourself write and listen. And if a name has come to you, stay quiet and allow yourself to ask for a deeper understanding, to ask if there are any steps to take. And if you've written your word, in this moment, allow yourself to simply open to Spirit, to say, God in me reveals my true essence. God in me reveals my next step. God as me lives a joyous, peaceful, fulfilling life. Behold, I make all things new. For you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. These are the words of the Holy Spirit for you. Behold, I make all things new. For you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. So now allow a thankfulness, a gratitude to flow over you as you receive this new name and begin to absorb it. Along with it comes the power and guidance to achieve all that we desire. This is our new name. We see it. We decree it. We are on the path of gaining greater insights and awareness and mark a new beginning in our lives today, right now. It is your Father's good pleasure. It is God's good pleasure to give you this kingdom. Accept this consciousness of your ever-increasing good in life. That is what is promised to us. I invite you, beloved, to carry this white stone as a reminder of that premise, as a reminder of who you are and what you are about. And so it is. Amen and amen.
Chosen by Spirit and then whispered to my heart, from this day I am awakened to the nature God intended with my name. I write my name expresses God in me on this white stone. On this white stone, I write my name.